Did you hear Bill Belichick's post-game press conference after North Carolina got shellacked by TCU?
I did not, but I did hear the pre-game interview he did with Holly Rowe, who was on our show last week.
Coming up at 12:40. We'll hear some of that post-game stuff. We just had Robert Mays from the Athletic Football Show, good podcast, on our show. And I asked Robert one thing that we've kicked around numerous times, and he was in agreement with what we've both said, Andy, which is because of the situation this year, we all think it's unlikely that the Browns' young quarterbacks, Dillon Gabriel, Shedeur Sanders, will have enough of an opportunity, and it's opportunity even more than anything, to play long enough, to play well enough, to convince the team, yay, we've got our quarterback of the future. And we don't need to draft one next year in what's supposed to be a good quarterback class. And we're going to go over that coming up at 1 o'clock. We're going to see how some of these guys did this weekend. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And we're going to do that every Tuesday during the season. Okay. We're going to keep tabs on these guys. Because I think, they're going to draft a quarterback next year.
Yeah, I just don't know what round. Like, if I think
numero uno, sir.
Well, it is the NFL, and I'm not wishing injury on anybody. But, Jeff, Andy. Gabriel or Sanders could be on the field as early as this week.
Oh, yeah.
And so for us to kind of crush the dream of opportunity, it's one snap away. I'm not trying to give you the, hey, you got to be ready because you're the backup quarterback role, but I do believe that if you give one of these two guys the opportunity to lead this team for a significant, even if it's just 5 or 6 games.
But you're
giving them the opportunity to win the job this year.
No, next year. Do you really think 5 or 6 games of seeing one of these rookies play will be enough to make the Browns think, yeah, in this draft where people think that at least 4 and maybe as many as 6, tying an NFL record, quarterbacks will be taken in the first round, that the Browns will be confident enough to pass up one of these guys? I don't think so. And I would love to sit here and say yes. I don't see it as possible, to be perfectly honest. The only way?
Worst case scenario, you think that Sanders or Gabriel is your starting quarterback next year, and you have 2 first-round picks going into next season's draft, right? And you hang on to both of them, and you draft 2 guys worthy of being good. Now, for one of them to win the job, you would think the Browns' natural pick would have to be on the other side of 15. Fair? The Browns' natural pick is going to have to be on the other side of 15, which would mean that one of these two guys had a decent season.
I'm not going to judge the rookie quarterbacks by wins and losses. I don't think that's fair.
Well, if you're not, then you're drafting a quarterback and this whole conversation is moot.
Which makes me wonder this, and I've thought this all along. They made the trade from 2 with Jacksonville, dropped down to 5 and picked up an extra number 1 next year. Mm-hmm. Knowing what kind of a quarterback class this is going to be next year.
Okay.
And there are a lot of, there are up to 9 guys who are getting some buzz that they might be first round picks. Now there won't be 9, but there might be 6. If you knew you had 2 number 1s next year and you signed Joe Flacco and Kenny Pickett, and you knew chances are you're going to draft a quarterback next year because you're going to have the opportunity. Why the heck did you draft 2 this year?
I don't know. Jeff, I will shake my head over and over because now you're talking about 2 draft picks that were, unless...
And it's going to be tough for both of them to play, Andy.
Unless they believe that Gabriel or Sanders is going to be a backup on this team for a very long time. But a very long time for a backup quarterback is somebody who's going to get antsy and want to get out of here at the end of their rookie deal.
Well, can you imagine? Let's just throw this out there. Can you imagine this scenario? Because I can't. You drafted Gabriel and Sanders. Mm-hmm. You have Flacco. Joe's 40. Mm-hmm. Can you imagine all 3 of those guys coming back with a guy you draft in the first round next year?
No.
Can you imagine both Gabriel and Sanders back next year with a guy you draft in the first round?
No.
I can't either.
They need sort of a veteran.
Right, makes me wonder, well, then why the heck did you why'd you draft 2 when you had 2
first-round
picks?
Because maybe you can showcase one of these guys and get a fifth-round pick out of it.
The only line of reasoning that has ever made sense to me when it comes to why they took both of those quarterbacks is the obvious reason, which was they looked at their board. They saw Shedeur Sanders sitting there and said, that's the highest guy on our board. Let's take him. That is the only reasoning I have heard that I've ever went, okay, well, then that makes sense. If you just followed it in that direction. I'm going with that because it's the one that makes the most sense. It's like, yeah, this guy was the highest guy left on our board, so we took him.
They have so many other holes. They could have could have done something else.
But we sit there and scream, follow your board. Don't draft for need. Follow your board. And
if you think you get it, you have to do that.
In the fifth round?
Yeah, I understand that anyway.
Early. If you're in the fifth round, you already have two quarterbacks on the roster. You already have three quarterbacks on the roster at that point. It didn't make a whole lot of sense to draft Sanders. It just didn't.
If that was the highest guy on their board, it does.
You're taking dice rolls anyway in the fifth round. That's just being ridiculous at your own board. You're going to tell me that they couldn't have brought in another wide receiver, a fifth-round wide receiver. They couldn't have brought in another defensive back. They couldn't have brought in another offensive lineman that could have helped out this team more than quarterback. It's like at some point, you've got to say the dance card's filled with quarterbacks. We got to find someone to dance with. And they already had three quarterbacks at that point. This is not a rip on Shedeur at all. This is like, why? Why did you do it? And if the only reason is because you trusted your board, that you're being blind.
Why did
you pick a guy in the third round then to play quarterback?
With two first-round picks next year in what's supposed to be a loaded quarterback draft.
It doesn't
make sense.
It's a head shaker. It just makes me think that you drafted one to trade.
It's the only line of logic that I can look at and say, okay, I get it. That's the only line of logic that I can wrap my head around.
Dan, you're absolutely right. Jim's in Strongsville. Hey, Jim.
Jimbo.
This just took an ugly turn.
Yes.
There's a bigger issue with taking Dylan Gabriel in the third. I mean, first thing you guys keep talking about, and I understand where you're coming from, not being critical of you. Like, well, you thought you could develop one to trade for like a fifth round pick. Who are you going to trade this year's third round pick for a fifth rounder next year? That's why this is so bizarre.
So, Jim, let me ask you this. Shedeur for a fifth-round pick. Well, you used a fifth to get him.
If they would have just stopped at Gabriel, it changes everything.
Or drafted Sanders in the third.
Which would have been fine, too.
Yeah. I don't get it. And this book, I mean, this draft could turn out to be awesome. Like, I don't know why this organization does things that, like, seriously, we have to make up reasons why it makes sense. Because it doesn't. It's bizarre. I mean, it's just the strangest thing. Like, this, you're right. This whole offseason's been offset because we took two rookie quarterbacks. And you're absolutely right. You can't draft one in the first round next year and bring these two guys back. It's just not going to work.
It couldn't. Could it, Jim? I can't imagine. Could you imagine the
no way.
Could you imagine the noise coming out of Shedeur and his fans if they draft a quarterback number one next year and they bring him back?
And, let's face it, the reason that Joe Flacco was let go of last year was because they didn't want the competition between Flacco and Watson going into last year. So if they were so sensitive on that, what makes you think that what's next year going to look like? And by the way, I know everyone wants to say he's going to be gone, but Deshaun could still be here and could be healthy.
He's going to be a June 2nd cutty, and that's the one. I do disagree with you on that. You keep saying that.
I hope you're right, but what makes you think that common sense is coming into play? This whole argument about Gabriel and Sanders makes me think that no one knows what's coming.
I mean, I've heard you say before, return on investment. Look, for a billionaire like Jimmy Haslam, when he says they took a swing and a miss, look, there is no return on Deshaun. Him playing isn't a return on investment from his perspective. I mean, the money spent, the money's gone. It was an investment that failed. He already ready to move on. So I just don't. I don't know.
Is he?
I hate this quarterback
situation. Is he ready to move on? Do we really know that? No.
I'm depressed now.
I know. Sorry.
Sorry, Jim.
All right. Enjoy your holiday week. All that's over too. Your holiday weekend's over too.
Welcome back.
I've just added to the depression.
Jason Solon. Hello, Jay.
Hey,
welcome.
Jay.
What's up, y'all? What's up?
How are you?
It's been a while.
We've missed you.
Hey, man, we got to realize that these owners, they like sit at card tables, and this is why it don't make sense. They sit at card tables, and they do real gambling. And they'll get a player and hold a player and send a player to a team. We got to act like it's a lot of backdoor stuff that's going on here. That's why we're so confused about so many different things that happen in this league.
Hey, I just can't wait till the Browns start. Hey, good luck with all the quarterbacks. I hope everybody stay healthy. Let's utilize these tight ends because tight ends are winning Super Bowls nowadays. Hey, man, great show as always.
Thank you, Jay.
Thank you, Jay. Appreciate that. Freese is in Akron. Hello, Freese.
Hey, how y'all doing?
Very well.
Hey.
So I love the point that y'all made about the quarterbacks as far as, like, why did they draft them or whatever, but I have one question.
Yeah.
So Deshaun Watson is still under contract, and from what I've been hearing from you guys, it's possible that next summer he can get cut and there'll be some dead cap money. But what if he comes back from his injury and he's looking like the Houston Deshaun Watson?
You know, Freese, I
want to hear your answer on this one.
No, what Freese just said is something that hasn't left my mind the whole time he's been here. It's like, is that guy still in there somewhere? You know, everybody, and boy, they were very, very different, but everybody was all excited that Flacco went 4-1 when he was here for five games in the regular season. Freese, that same year, Deshaun Watson went 4-1. Now, he didn't play real well, but the Browns won four of his five starts. And I've wondered the same thing that you've wondered, Freese. Is that guy in there anywhere anymore? Because if he is, I want him as my quarterback. He was damn good.
Do y'all think our fan base has had enough of Deshaun Watson to not give him a chance?
Yes, but the fan base doesn't matter. The coaching staff does.
Well, here's the other thing, too. Had enough until what? If they threw him out on the field and they won his first game back?
And he threw for 320 yards.
Heads would change. They would change. You know it as well as I do.
Freese is laughing because he knows.
Well,
thanks,
I'm kind of looking forward to that because that'll answer our quarterback question, right?
It's another option. Gosh. I just don't.
All right, Freese. Thanks.
Shaking my head.
Yeah, I'm shaking my head too. John's in Columbia Station, where Trent Richardson used to live. Hi, John.
Yeah, he did. Actually, I have a couple ideas here.
Okay.
I think they should take Shador. Well, actually, they missed a great opportunity. I think they could have shopped Shador to Dallas and could have got Micah Parsons. I think Jerry Jones really, really, really would like to have Shador.
Well, bringing him back to Texas. Sure, he grew up in Texas.
Absolutely, absolutely. So that was one thing. Or maybe trade him
straight up for Dak Prescott.
Did he have a house in Arlington Heights?
You'd have a quarterback.
Arlington Heights, maybe, where the King of the Hill Crew lives. I don't know.
I would go with your guys' idea. Go ahead and draft another quarterback next year. But you could also use him for fodder. We need some linemen. I mean, our linemen are getting older. Betonio came back from retirement. Doesn't say he won't retire this year after this season. You're going to have a – there you go. You're going to miss a all-pro guard.
All right, John. That's very warm and cheery.
Did you go to that retirement ceremony? I don't remember that.
I did not go to that retirement ceremony.
I don't remember that. Dan, did you get invited to that?
No.
I think we missed that one.
I almost cried last
invitation
night.
Invitation got sent to an old address.
Who did?
If you're on hold, stick with us. We'll get your phone call. But I almost cried last night.
Oh, why'd you cry, Jeff? Why? Tell us.
It involved an old friend.
Oh.
Who didn't sound like his usual old grumpy self.
What?
His name is Bill.
Love will do that to you, Jeff.
Is that what that was?
I think so.
Or is that just like, oh my God, I can't believe I'm coaching in college now. We're going to hear Bill Belichick after the game last night, coming up on Baskin and Phelps.